Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Jordan Maxwell, an old friend from the San Diego, Southern California days. And Jordan's expertise and his credibility speak for itself. So without any further ado, Jordan Maxwell, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Well, thank you, James. And it's true. We go back a long time. I don't even remember how long it was, but I remember contacting you, and we were talking back in San Diego. That's quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
And we're both still here, so I guess that's something.
Here. It goes back to when you were with the Truth Seekers, which, if memory serves, it was a group set up by a philanthropist specifically to fund efforts at getting the truth out.
Yeah, and what it was called the Truth Seeker Company. They were originally founded in New York many, many years ago, back in the 1850s and 1860s, something like that. And the guy was, he was a wealthy man back then, and he wanted to set up a publishing house that would publish people's books that were unpopular. You know, people who are doing research on things that government doesn't want you to know, and corporations are not interested in having you, you know, talk about what they're doing to the public. And so he set up an account. He's a wealthy man, as I said, and so he set up an account with a bank in New York, whereby his company would be a printing company, printing books and magazines, etc. And he would also once a year give money to people who needed it, who was working on a book or a project or something. He'd give them a grant. And so he was a wonderful man, wanted to do something to help the human family. And so when I came into the company in around 1992, I think that's when I came in, 1992. The company was in the hands of a really tragic woman. She was nothing more than tragic. She couldn't care less about the company. She couldn't care less about the reason for the company. All she knew is that she was getting a large sum of money every month to make sure the company stayed afloat. And so since she was getting a large sum of money, because he put quite a few millions of dollars in the bank and stipulated that the company, that his publishing company, would get the interest divided by 12. Whatever the full interest was for the year, divided by 12, and that's how much his company would get to operate on, just in case they, you know, they didn't sell enough books to pay for their work. They always had money coming in. So when I came in, I had so many high hopes for the company but I was amazed that she'd been around. She had been around for about 10, 12 years being the president of the Truth Seeker Company and had not accomplished anything. They had a little dinky, little two-room office down by the docks and the low-rent area, and just a little tiny little cubbyhole office, and she wasn't doing anything. She didn't need to do anything. She's getting a lot of money coming in every month, and the owner died a long time ago, so he didn't know. And so she wasn't doing much of anything. So I talked to the lawyers and talked to her and the lawyers and talked them into letting me run the company so at least something would get done after 10 or 12 years of her running it. And so I did. I took over running the company for about 3 or 4 years. and then I started doing my own radio shows again because I was so busy I quit doing radio. But I really loved radio, so I got back into that again and left the Truth Seeker Company. I was having too many problems with the whole operation because she wouldn't leave it alone. You know, every time I wanted to do something, she would pop in and say no. And so I just left. But I had a nice time when I was there because I got a chance to meet a lot of people and did the best I could. I could have done a lot more if I'd just had the cooperation with the company. But you know, it was what it was, and I had a lot of fun doing what I was doing, making the company, putting the company out there in television and radio, and doing radio shows from the company headquarters, and I met a lot of important people, and a lot of people I helped. But those were like good old days. I mean, you know, even with all the tragedies going on, but it was still kind of fun to do. And so today I'm now working with a company called Gaia, G-A-I-A, Gaia Company, in Colorado, producing documentaries and high grade documentaries and professionally presented shows on all kinds of subjects that I deal with. And so I'm very happy to be here. Gaia is a wonderful company, and it's a tremendous idea. I think it's like $20 for 3 months, and it's got like well over 8,000 documentaries done by professionals from all over the world. And so it's like a club. You just join the Gaia, spelled G-A-I-A. You join Gaia. I think it's like $20 for 3 months. And you've got access to thousands of magnificent documentaries and all kinds of interesting shows that you would never see on television ever. You know, wouldn't see it because television is a dead art. I mean, it's gone. There's nothing on TV worth watching. And so that's where I am now. I'm with Gaia and producing shows, and I'm really happy to be here. But that's where, you know, that's where it ends up. That's where I am now, in Colorado. And I'm actually pretty happy about being here. It's a beautiful place. And I can do what I've always wanted to do, just produce videos and produce documentaries. So that's what I'm doing. So where do we go from here?
Yeah, the Truth Seekers was a key moment in your life. I remember you were doing that. And then, long story short, we don't have to get into it, but there was also infiltration that occurred at the California end of things, the Oceanside side of things, but you did manage to get a lot of great work done. If I remember correctly, the Truth Seekers had brought out David Icke for his "And the Truth Shall Set You
Free."
You did that, yeah.
Yeah, I did that. I brought David Icke to America. Nobody ever heard of him, but I brought him here. I took a chance on him, and I brought him here to America and to San Diego, and I financed his rise, and he was, you know, I would get him on radio and television shows, and I'd send him around the world to do lectures and all over the world, from Europe to Asia, all around. So I paid for all that. The company paid for all that, and sending him to different countries to do lectures and promoting him in newspapers and magazines, etc. And so David has been a good friend for many years, and he's very successful, and I'm very happy about that. And he's done a magnificent job of waking people up to what's going on in the world. So that's nice, and I appreciate his hard work. But I brought a lot of people in. I brought all kinds of writers and researchers and teachers, all kinds of people I helped over the years. But then again, that's back in the 1990s, so that's long gone now. But it was fun.
You remember back in those days, you were the pioneer as far as bringing out the symbology, the occultic symbology of the New World Order, of the Illuminati. And to the point where you and I talked about this, we feel that that whole Tom Hanks movie was kind of like a poorly hidden example of using your work and fitting it into that movie.
Yeah,
it was. That was.
And I've heard, and I've heard people who worked on the movie and people inside the motion picture industry have told me that. That they use me as a model for Tom Hanks' character in the movie, and see I can believe that because I used to back in the 70s and 80s I was going around to motion picture companies, the big ones, Warner Brothers and CBS and big companies like that. I would go over and do slide presentations for the working class people. I'd go to the big studios at night, and they would have a pass for me to get in, and I'd just drive over to the motion picture because I lived in Hollywood in that area too, and so I would go to these big motion picture studios and we'd set up a screen on the sound stage, set up a screen, and I had a slide projector, and that was back in the late 60s and early 70s through to the 80s. I was doing lectures at night at the motion picture studios just for the working people. Once in a while, some of the bosses would come in and sit and listen for a little bit. But I was talking about the secret societies operating behind this government, and behind religions and international banking cartels and Illuminati, like you said. I was talking about all those subjects many, many years ago. I started back in 1959 and 60, a long time ago. And and so I was always busy, you know, at the different studios doing lectures at night, until it finally caught on. Now, today, finally, it's caught on what I was saying some 58 years ago. And now they're making movies like Indiana Jones kind of movies and National Treasure 1 and National Treasure 2 and Da Vinci Code and all of those type of shows, along with like History Channel, Discovery Channel, doing these Knights Templars and secret societies and all that kind of stuff. I was the one that talking about this back in 1960 in Hollywood. Nobody knew what I was talking about and nobody cared. But I just thought it was interesting how the world really works. So I didn't care if anybody was listening or not. I'll just tell you. And I figured if you got enough sense to know what I'm talking about, fine. If you don't, it doesn't matter. But I'm going to do what I like doing. I like talking to people about how the world works. So that's what I was doing. And so now it's finally caught on. You know. So
one of the key topics you brought up with me, we had an entire holiday weekend's long discussion where you were teaching me about what you meant by the new dawn of the new day and how ultimately there was a non-human element driving the whole thing. And you showed me these different slides of all the different national flags around the country, and the commonality so many had was the sun rising between the two mountain peaks. Think of Shell Oil, listeners. It's not a shell you're looking at. It's the sun rising between two mountain peaks. Did you want to describe to the audience that may not be familiar with that aspect of your work what you meant by the new dawn of the new day?
Well, first of all, that term, new dawn, has been used by esoteric and secret societies. It was called the Great Work, and Freemasonry, the Masonic Order, calls this idea I was talking about, they call it the Great Work. And the Great Work is the reestablishing of the human race on an entirely new basis, to come in and break down and get rid of the old order, and then to prepare the human race on the earth to accept a new kind of human civilization on the earth, which will be computerized and sanitized, and so that the bottom line would be in this new world order or this new dawn, it would be a time when the entire world will have an IQ of 30. Nobody is going to be able to think very clearly. There's going to be all kinds of entertainments and drugs and all sorts of high-tech brainwashing, so that eventually the great work will bring about a world of mankind which has never existed before. A human race, the whole human race, will be cut down to just staying alive and doing what you're told. And so, you know, what we're talking about is a world-class prison for the entire earth. Well, that was many, many years ago. The secret societies of Europe and Russia and Germany especially were talking about doing this conversion of the human race to one big, giant, earth-wide prison for the human family. And they talked about how they were going to provide entertainment, and they would also provide a liquor store on every corner, as many liquor stores as they could put into America in one place, and ultimately around the world. Liquor stores were to be a very big project for the people who run this planet, to make sure that there's plenty of alcohol, plenty of liquor, plenty of beer, to keep the human family sedated, and make sure they got plenty of basketball and football and sports and entertainment and television, all kinds of entertainment with plenty of drugs. That's why the big cartels in Central and South America are being financed, organized, and directed by the Vatican and the Jesuit order. The Jesuits are heavily involved with the Medellin cartel, the Cali cartel, and the Vatican is heavily involved in the drugging of the people of Central and South America. They don't have to drug Americans. Americans will drug themselves. But so the bottom line is that what I was talking about some 55, 56 years ago has finally come full circle. And today, unfortunately, what I was talking about that was going to happen has happened, and there's nothing you could do about it now. The people of America are too ill-informed, too backwards. They are, the country, the whole country has been wasted, and the human family around the world has been put under arrest. We have all been put under arrest so that nobody can think very clearly. And if you know something you're not supposed to know, don't act like a journalist, and you're going to find out stuff and go out in public and talk about it like a journalist. We don't have any journalism anymore. We don't have any journalists. We don't have any news. There's nothing new. And so the bottom line is that today, what I was talking about, that these people who are planning our future, the destiny, you might say, of the whole human race, they were planning on keeping us so ignorant and so profoundly stupid in our colleges and universities and schools, so incredibly ignorant, and do it in such a way that everybody thinks they're going to get a good education. And yet, when you talk to them, they haven't got the faintest idea what's going on anything. And so today, that's what we are today. We are in America, the land of the free and home of the brave. And like Dick Gregory said, you ain't free or brave. We're not free or brave. We're just trying to stay alive while the masters who run our banks, our insurance companies, and our government the military-industrial complex own us. And that's another point that people don't know, but they're going to have to wake up to one day, is that you are actually a piece of property, and you are owned, and your body, your very body, and the body of your wife and children, every human body is on the stock market, in the international stock markets of the world, where they can buy and sell you. They buy and sell your body and the energy in your body. And it's a very interesting and arcane way of doing banking. It's all based on the ownership of humans. And so, you know, when you're born, you get a birth certificate, and your birth certificate is on banking paper. It's always got that, you know, the little designs around the edge of the birth certificate, like a security on the stock exchange. And why? Because your body is a security on the stock exchange. And so the whole world now is owned. The international bankers, they own the human family, they own us, and they actually, in fact, lawfully do own us. And most people have no idea in the world about that, and therefore it doesn't bother anyone because nobody knows about it. I know about it, but there's nothing I can do about it, so I just educate myself. But you'd be surprised how much you don't know about the government you live under and the banks that operate here in this country, and how the insurance companies are the real power behind banks, and the 14th Amendment is a real power behind insurance companies. And it gets very, very deep and very dark when you start looking into the big business of international cartels and how those companies own the people in different countries. So I'm just saying, this is what I've always loved to do, is wake people up to what's going on. But I'm also well aware that whoever is supposed to hear me, they will. And whoever is not supposed to hear me, they won't. So this way, I don't have to worry about if somebody's hearing me or if they care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if people care about what I do or not. I just do what I do. And if you're smart, if you're clever and intellectually awake, then you will pick up on what I'm saying and do some research on your own and find out the world is not what you think it is. But most people are too mentally lazy, and or they don't have time. You know, they're trying to raise a family and working and doing everything they have to do to stay alive, so they don't have time to research the real darkness of the world we live in and how banks really operate. Why do we have police departments? I mean, that was, you know, back in the Wild West days when America was growing, there were no police. And so all of that came in after 1870s. So all I'm saying is that the world that you live in has changed in such a way that if you were to understand it completely, it would frighten you where we are now and where we're going. And there's nothing going to stop it now. We've been slaves for at least since 1870s, Americans have been slaves. Because what you don't know is that the United States of America, when it was founded back in 1776, does not exist today. There is no United States of America. There is a United States corporation, a company, but that's just a municipal corporation, and it's probably privately owned too. But because after the Civil War, logic would tell you, after the Civil War, America was anything but united. Yeah, sure, all the states existed. But after the Civil War, one half the country was killing the other half. And so we were a lot of things back in the 1800s during the Civil War, except we were not united. It was a bloody war in this country between the two peoples. And so, therefore, it was decided by our government officials, who don't tell us anything. They just do it. They don't need to talk to you about anything. But they decided that the United States of America is no longer a viable idea, so forget it. There is no United States of America. But they had to do something because of all the people living here. They want to eat and they want to work and they want to grow, and so they want to live. And so you have to do something. So what are you going to call this place, this area called North America? What are you going to call it? Because it used to be called the United States of America. But we're not united anymore, so there is no United States. Well, then what are we going to call it? How are we going to run this country? Well, first of all, it's not a country, it's a company. And so there was a corporation founded back in the 1870s, a corporation, a company. And the company was called the United States Corporation. And therefore, every person in this country working was an employee of that corporation. And so therefore, we no longer have a constitution for the United States of America. There is no such thing as a constitution for the United States of America. There is a constitution for the United States Corporation, company, a privately owned company. And so it has its own, it's basically a two different concepts, two different ideas, and each one has its own constitution. So today, we are no longer a United States of America. We are a company, and we are a corporation. And so what they had to do, which was interesting, the lawmakers didn't tell us anything, but what they decided is that every single person, man, woman, and child in this country would become a corporation, because all laws, and here's something you probably never heard before, but all laws in America, federal laws, state laws, county, city, corporate laws, I don't care what it is, any law, period, does not apply to you as a person. No law applies to a human being in this country, period. All laws apply only to other corporations, other companies, because the United States is a company now, so it can't deal with you on a personal level like they could under the United States of America. And so today you are a corporation. Your wife and your children, they are corporations. And so that's why we say things like, if I see you coming out of a restaurant one night with a woman and I say to you, you know, that woman you were with last night, she's bad company. And you say, mind your own business. Business? Company? And then I find out you're going to get married, she's going to be your partner. Partners? Business? Company? Yeah, because your whole life is a company. And there's, and myself, I don't mind your company, but I don't want to be in your company. I want to be in my own company. And so, you know, so we start looking at these words that we use and realize that marriage is not anything holy before God. Marriage is simply a corporation benefit. It's a business. And since it's just a business, it has got nothing to do with God or anything to do with love or family or nothing like that. Marriage is a business. It's a corporate business. That's why you have to have a license when you get married. You need a business license. Why? Because you're doing business. Now, of course, I'm happy that it's none of my business what you're doing. And who I'm living with is none of your business. But it is a business, right?
Yeah.
So it's none of your business. And who you're living with is none of my business. But it's a business. And therefore, if it's a business, you better get a license. And so if General Electric is going to join Ford Motor Company and produce a new product between them, well, that's fine, you could do that, but you better get the lawyers together first and check with the federal government if you can do that and how you're going to do it, and show the government how you're going to do that, because you've got two different companies. And now they're going to come together and produce something between them. Well, that's what man and his wife does. They come together and they produce something between them. It's called a corporation, a shell. So just look at the world the way it really operates, the way it really, in fact, runs. And it has nothing to do with the everyday life you live at all. Nothing works the way you think it does, period. Nothing. Before the corporation was set up in 1870s, we were the United States of America, like I said. And then after the Civil War, we're not united. But the bottom line was is that under the United States of America, the way we were founded, we were a constitutional republic. And so, because you were the constitutional republic, and because every man, woman, and child in North America was considered by law a sovereign. A sovereign is a king or a queen. And so you were the king of your home. And so you, like any other king, kings have a right to arm themselves. Because other kings may want to come in and take what they've got. So we had the rights, not a civil liberty. We had the right, by the way this country was founded, to carry a gun, to have guns, and to use guns. We had that right to arm ourselves because the founding fathers of America realized that Europe was totally out of control now. The kings and queens and princes and all the royalty were ruthless murderers, liars, and manipulators, and they would kill people, put them to death in the fire. And so the founding fathers of this country said, no, from here on out, we're going to be free. And the only way you stay free is if you have a gun and know how to use it. So if you get somebody coming into your home at night, to kill you or your wife, at least you will have a fighting chance to fight back. But if you don't have any gun, you don't have any weapons, then you better be built strong and be able to fight. But if they got a gun, that's not going to be good enough. And so the founding fathers realized that we needed to have guns to protect ourselves. And they said, not me, I didn't say it, but they said, the reason why you need guns is to protect yourself from the government. Because governments have always and now always become tyrannical. They start off talking about how they want to help the people, etc. But after they get a little power, then they get a little bit more power, and eventually they got all the power. And once they got all the power, now it's Adolf Hitler, the Gestapo, and the Third Reich. And now you're in serious trouble because the government is not here to protect and help you. The government's here to make damn sure you do what they tell you to do. And you do exactly what they tell you to do. Or you're out of line and you'll be arrested and thrown into prison. And you won't ever see the sun again. So that's why the founding fathers said, all of you people, you better carry guns because the government itself is not trustworthy. You can't trust government, can't trust politicians. They're all a bunch of criminals. But that's why after the 1870s, there was no United States of America. So up till then, man, woman, and children, men and women could carry guns. Like the old Wild West days in the cowboy movies. John Wayne always carried the two guns. And
it was frontier justice back then.
Because we could do that.
Frontier justice. If someone stole your horse, that was tantamount to destroying your life. So,
That's
were
right.
fully justified in hanging the horse thief.
Exactly, because the horse was your, it was your life, to transportation, to do all kinds of things for you. So they finally decided that they would that the United States of America as a republic no longer existed. So now we have today, excuse me, we have today United States Corporation. It's a company. Now, here's the point. A corporation or a company cannot make law. Coca-Cola Company or Exxon cannot make law. But if you work for that company, they do have their own policies. Now, their policy is for you to come in at 7 in the morning and you go home at 3:30. That's their policy. It's not God's law. They can't put you in jail if you come in late. They can fire you, but they can't. It's not a hard law written in stone. No, they don't make laws. Seers can't make a law. But if you're going to work for them and they're paying you, then they can tell you that it's their policy. And their policy is you do this and you do that. And you go to lunch at this time and you go home at that time. And these are all just their policies. If you don't like their policy, it's okay. They will fire you. And so since we no longer have a country of laws, we have policy. So today, ask any politician what kind of a governmental system rules America. They will tell you it's called in law a public policy. Public policy is the kind of government we have today, which means we don't have any laws. We don't have laws. We have a policy. And so we have people that we call policymakers. We call them lawmakers. No, they're not lawmakers. They are policymakers. And when the policymakers, those senators and congressmen, they make a policy. And so if they make a policy, then they've got to have some way to back it up. So they have armed forces. We have the police who enforce the policy of the politicians. So the politicians make the policy that's backed up by the police. All three words come from the same. So now we're not living in the land of the free. America is not, is a lot of things, but free ain't one of them. You have to get a permit and pay a fine and get a ticket and ask permission. And that's why you have the Statue of Liberty. Incidentally, the Statue of Liberty is a man, not a woman. A lot of people think it's a woman. Well, it's not. Go back and do your homework. Statue of Liberty is a man. And it's called the Statue of Liberty, not the Statue of Freedom, because you're not free. You live under liberty. Liberty means you ask permission. You get a permit. You get a license. And you go to the government and ask them, can I do this, please? May I do this? And they say, no. Out. Move. Get going.
It's like in the Navy when the sailors and Marines are giving leave, they're given liberty.
Yeah, that's true. When a sailor pulls into port, he gets liberty, not freedom.
Yes.
You don't have no freedom. The captain on that ship, incidentally, all captains, the captain on a sailing ship, a rocket ship, airship, I don't care what, any kind of ship on the ocean or in the air, it doesn't matter. Captains occupy on a ship the same position that God occupies on the earth, which is a vessel in space. It's a ship in space. It's traveling like a ship in space. And we say God is in control. Well, God is in control. I don't care if you believe it or not, but somebody's in control of this universe. And so captains of any kind of a ship are always around the world. All captains on any kind of a ship play the part and have the official part of God. And so when a captain is on his plane or on his ship, he is God. If you don't think so, you mess with the captain, and you'll find out he is God. And there was a time in this country when if you were taking part in some kind of rebellion on a ship, the captain could have you walk the plank. They just put a plank out there like a diving board, and you're out in the middle of the desert, and he puts you up on the board and say, walk, son. And you walk out to the end. Yeah, keep going, because you're not coming back on this ship. I'm God. You don't think so? Watch. And so you just jump off into the ocean. You're dead. And why? Because the captain says so. And when he gets back to port, he reports that you were in rebellion. They've got witnesses to it, and that he did what he thought was necessary. Why? Because he's God. He actually occupies the position of a deity on ship. So everything is done today. All of our commercial system, the business we do every day, living and paying bills and all that kind of thing, is all part of what is referred to as maritime business. Maritime means of the ocean. So banking and money, anything to do with banks, money, credit cards, checks, whatever it is all based on water. Water is the basis for all money on the earth, period. So your credit card represents water. You're cashing a check, that represents water. So we say things today like, boy, money goes through your hands like water. No, money is water, period. And so then you begin to see how water is the bottom line, because we are 78% water ourselves. And so money goes through your hands like water. No, money is considered water. It's the cash flow, the liquid asset. And so where do you put your cash flow? You put it in a bank. You put it into a bank. What does a bank do? Well, first of all, you have a bank on each side of a river. They're called river banks. And what does a river bank do? It directs the flow of your currency. It directs the flow of the currency. And so your money is a current. It's coming and going, coming and going. It goes out, the tide goes out, comes back in. You make a few bucks, you pay a few bucks. You make some more money, you pay some more money. So it's just a continual flow of a liquid asset, of financial liquidity. And so, therefore, all money is based on shipping, is based on water and ships. And that's why you have a scholarship and a courtship and dealership and all kinds of ships. I used to have a whole list of words in our language in English that end in ship, like courtship, dealership, scholarship, this ship, that ship, all kinds of ship. And then, of course, since you have all the ships, then the whole idea is that you are on a citizen ship. And so, therefore, you have a citizenship and you're on the ship. So don't rock the boat. Don't make waves. Just go along and do what you're supposed to do, and you'll be okay. And therefore, you know they'll let you have a job so you can pay your bills and eat, as long as you're a good citizen on the ship. And so we say things like that. You're a citizenship. Even in Australia, they call you mate.
Yeah, that's right. You know. Well, it goes back to what you said, the Admiralty Maritime Law, and the fact that these corporations that were sent out to colonize the world, it was the East India Trading Company that was backed by the Royal Navy and the Royal Army and the Marines. People think it's the other way around nowadays, where it's government and then there's corporations, but it was the corporations that went and colonized, exploited the resources, exploited the natives, and they had the government to back them up.
Of course. And they back up the government. And so every day when Putin is dealing with Trump, and one president in the country is dealing with another president over something, it's a marriage made in heaven. It's a government and the military. Well, you're talking about Al Capone in the underworld and the mafia. It's the same thing. The old mafia don, you know, in the movie Godfather, the old mafia don's like the president, and he is the president. And he takes care of the business of the family.
And that's exactly how the modern mafia has been run, set up by Meyer Lansky, with a corporate board that governs the various families throughout America and their offshore holdings. And it's
precisely.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you talk about water, too, because that's part of the Babylonian banking alchemy, where
that's right.
Everything about the currency has like this aspect of like submitting to it, you know? I mean, when one goes to a government website, the button you click on says submit. It doesn't say please do this or please click on this. It says submit, permit. Everything is in wordplay. And it's interesting that, you know, nowadays there's a cottage industry of all these so-called researchers out there, and they go on and on and on about how words, you know, control us, and how words, you know, compel us to take part in all these bogus soul agreements, et cetera, et cetera. You're the one that basically began that whole concept, pointing out the fallacy of words and how it has a corporate binding aspect to it. Now, while we still got time in this segment, Jordan, and we'd love to have you back again, we also talked in that long, it was a UFO friendship camp out at the Little Alien, and you were telling me about the Dawn of the New Day, the Colombian faction, the Rough Echelon. I still remember all this stuff, but ultimately we both agreed that there was this, for lack of a better term, non-human element. There was something that was driving all these occultists, something that was driving all these Luciferians
to
do all this stuff.
You can bet on it, absolutely.
And,
doubt about it.
Yeah, in the time we got left on this segment, could you tell us a bit about some of your own personal experiences that convince you, yes, there's a lot more going on that meets the eye. There's some kind of hidden, mystical, non-human element driving all this.
Of that, there is no doubt in my mind whatsoever. But you'd have, that's just my opinion. But if you've seen what I have with my own eyes and been present of seeing very important, powerful people, what they're doing and how they're doing it, and how they're building this whole game around us, there's no doubt in my mind that there is an extraterrestrial, an extraterrestrial part of our life that we don't see. And because we don't see it, we're usually, most humans are pompous and arrogant, self-centered, egotistical, know-it-all. You know, kids are that way, and teenagers are that way. And then you find out, no, basically the whole human race is that way. All arrogant, pompous, and the Bible even talks about that kind of living. And therefore, you're going to be deceived. You're going to be tricked, because if you're arrogant and self-centered, you think you know everything there is to know about everything. And then you come to find out one day you never knew anything. Nobody ever told you what was really going on at all. If you come into this country illegally, if you cross the border into this country illegally, you're not coming into the United States of America. That's different. That would be a whole different thing. If this was the United States of America and you came across the border the way it was set up originally in 1776, you would be in serious trouble, period. Just like you would be today if I try as an American to go into Mexico illegally and they find out that I'm illegally there, I came across the border at night when nobody saw me. Mexico is not very nice to its prisoners. You will find out you don't do that in Mexico. You don't come across the border without telling anybody. That is an act of war. You came onto somebody else's property and you didn't have permission. So you don't have permission, then you're at war. And so when you come across the border into America, today the corporation doesn't care because it's not a country, it's a corporation. And so the company doesn't care. What they want is documented workers. What they don't want is undocumented workers. They want documented. It doesn't mean you're coming in legally. It just means you came in, you got a job, do whatever you're doing. But what the company, the corporation called United States wants is a document to show you're here. You are a documented worker. Why? Because there's a deal was struck back in 1920s, 1930s in America that you didn't know anything about. There was a deal made with the international banking cartels in Switzerland and in Belgium, the big international cartels and banking companies in England were loaning this country money. They were loaning us money to build railroads and to build houses and bridges and streets and highways. They were loaning this little country money. And then one day, the country has grown so big, on somebody else's money. And so now how are you going to pay them back? Well, we don't have any money to pay them back. We've been playing like it's the end of the world. We're just throwing money away and having a ball, just spending money and doing anything we want. And now we come to find out we don't, you know, we owe a lot of money to a lot of people. We owe England from a long time ago, and we owe France, and we owe Germany. We owe a lot of countries a lot of money from a long time ago, and you ain't paid yet. And they don't forget. And so, therefore, if you come into this country and you're working and you are undocumented, because the big banking corporations of Europe that loaned us money a long time ago, they know we don't have any money to pay them back. So what they decided to do, the banks decided, is to use each one of us as a security for the money that our country owes that bank. And so we are a security on the New York Stock Exchange. Why? Because if you got energy and you're alive, you're working, you're making money, and therefore you're paying taxes. You're not paying taxes to the government. You're paying taxes that puts the money in the hands so they can pay the bankers back in Europe. That's why you're paying taxes. It has got nothing to do with financing America. And so today, if you come across the border and you're undocumented and they find out about it, then they can put a lien on you because this is a corporation. And so a lien means that if I paint your house and you don't pay me, I can put a lien on your house. It's called a mechanic's lien. So I can put a lien on your house, which means you're not paying me, but you can't do anything with that house lawfully unless you pay me first. So it's called a lien, my mechanic's lien. So if you come across in this country and you're working here undocumented, the corporation called United States can put a lien on you. And now you become known as an alien. Alien is an a lien has been put on you. So you are now an alien. And so it doesn't mean you are from another country alien. No, it's a lien has been put on your body. And so, if you owe somebody money and they're really coming after you for the money, you say they're leaning on me. They're leaning on me for the money I owe. Yeah. So I'm just saying that when you understand banks, banks don't do what you think they do. They don't loan money. There's a law in America that says a bank cannot loan money, period. That's the law. Most people don't know that because they're always going up to the bank and get a loan. But banks are not allowed to loan money, period. A bank is established for one thing, to deposit money in the bank to save it for you. Period. End of sentence. Now, where does the idea that all the different people in my town, they all go to put their paychecks in the bank and put their money in the bank, and then some guy comes along, he wants to buy a $300,000 car or boat or whatever, or plane, and they write him out a check, and he's got good credit, and so they give him the check, and he goes and buys the plane. What just happened? Did you give my money to this guy to buy a car or to buy a plane? I didn't tell you you could give my money to somebody else. You say, well, yeah, but that's what banks do. We loan money. No, the federal government says that banks cannot loan money. People put their money in there for you to trust and hold, not to give it to somebody else to buy the plane. And so, well, then how does he buy a plane with the money if I can't loan money? That's a whole different subject about how people buy stuff every day through the banks, but the banks cannot loan money. So it's a very interesting world we live in, and it's based on trickery and words. Words, you know, deceive you. And I like what one politician said, propaganda does not deceive you. It helps you to deceive yourself. Because you think you understand what the words mean. I talk to a federal lawyer and see what those words mean, because you read something on a contract and then you find out it doesn't mean in a court what it means on the street. If you're out on the street, then these words mean a certain thing and we all know what they mean. But when you go into a federal court and use those same words, that's different. Now you're going to jail because what you just said, this can put you in prison, what you just said. And so you need to understand words, where words come from, and how they're used to deceive you. And it's a magnificent world we live in if you understand how the world really works. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that if you have a two-story building, if you own a two-story building, and you're going to put a lot of weight on the second floor, like printing presses and automobiles, if you're going to put a lot of weight on the second floor, logic alone would tell you to go downstairs first, call a building inspector and go downstairs, get on the ladder and remove the ceiling tiles on the first floor, and look at the floor's foundation and see if the floor is going to hold that kind of weight you're going to put on it. So before you put that weight on, you better see if it's going to hold that kind of weight. So what are you doing now? You're standing downstairs under the foundation you're going to build on. This is where we get our word understanding, because you're standing under what you're going to build on. So you don't understand anything if you haven't done your homework and figure out how the world really works.
I see that all the time, Jordan, with a lot of the people that have podcasts nowadays, people that presume to be healers of this, that, or the other malady that someone is dealing with today. They just don't have the proper foundation or the proper understanding of the history. Like, for example, my particular bailiwick is with UFOs, aliens, ETs, and so many of these people who presume to be experts in the field of ufology, they don't know nothing about the history of ufology. They don't know the key dates in history, the key events. So they're operating in a vacuum. And what happens is people that are looking for answers, that are coming to grips with their own experiences today, they go onto the internet and it's just a miasma, a minefield of disinformation and chaos and confusion. So, well, we've reached the end of a very fascinating segment with Jordan Maxwell, and we'll definitely have Jordan back on the show in the future. Jordan, thanks for coming on the show today, and definitely we'll have you on again sometime in the future.
Let's do it, James, because there's so much, much more people need to know. They just have not been told, and people live their whole life today in trouble. Everybody's got problems and troubles. Why? Because you don't know how the world works. It doesn't work the way you think that it does. And so, so it's just education. And the American people can't do anything because knowledge is power. And without knowledge, you can't do anything. So that's what I try and do, is enlighten people as to how your world really works. So, but again, thank you for having me on. You can do it anytime.
Yeah, the pleasure is all mine, Jordan. And again, one of the all-time legends in the field, a living legend. Jordan's been doing it for a long time. And to our dear listeners out there, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, have a very pleasant time, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Bye-bye, and thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.